Good morning, everyone. I'm Gina Kaufman. Next up on KCUR's Central Standard, we're revisiting the corner grocery stores of days gone by. How we buy everything has changed, and not surprisingly, that includes food. But when the Midtown Post's Mary Jo Draper ran a story on historic Midtown grocery stores, it got a huge response. Something about seeing these old corner stores really touched a nerve. So now, we're going to try and figure out what that's about. If the thought of a mom-and-pop grocery store in your neighborhood means something to you, call in and give us that explanation. 816-235-2888. Mary Jo Draper, welcome to Central Standard.
Well, it's great to be here.
What gave you the idea to collect photographs of Midtown's historic corner grocery stores?
Well, at the Midtown KC Post, we do a regular feature on Monday mornings about the history of Midtown Kansas City. And I recently found, as I was doing some research, a list of grocery stores from 1949 for some reason it fascinated me to look at the number of grocery stores, neighborhood grocery stores that there were in 1949. And so I put all of those grocery stores that were in Midtown onto a map and put a few pictures out there and posted it, not really knowing what kind of response I'd get. And the fascinating thing was that people just got really excited about it, and it really seemed to trigger a lot of memories for people.
Yeah, let's talk about maybe just one of these photographs, the cover photo on your post, because there's something really evocative about it. The store is in a structure that looks like a little house, and out in front is a guy in what looks like a very nice flat-brimmed hat. It looks nice to me. I'm not really schooled in hats. But there's a sign telling passersby to stop and shop there. Where is this store, and what do you know about it?
And I'm trying to remember where that store is. I believe it's in the West Plaza area, and it was typical of these mom-and-pop grocery stores of the time. What people have been saying as they've been writing it on Facebook and our website is that they remember these kind of little stores where everybody knew you, where you went in and they knew your name. You knew the people in the community. And what's really interesting is that many, many, many people seem to remember that their mother would send them to the corner store for milk and give them a little extra money, and they could buy some candy.
So this is touching people in as far as their sweet tooth memory goes, especially maybe.
I think those memories are really well preserved, yes.
But has what we consider a grocery store changed since this seeming, at least according to the response to this story, golden era of the corner store?
Yeah, I mean, I went back and did some research after this story got so much response. And it seems like even in 1949, we were in a real period of transition between these mom and pop stores. And we were starting to see the chain stores come in, and the AMP and the local chains. And so we started to see this difference between what we called the supermarket and the old mom and pop stores, and that the real old neighborhood stores back in the early days, you just took a list in and you gave it to the grocer, and that they filled your order for you. So it was I think in the 1910s when the first person got the idea that maybe we should actually have a shopping cart and you could do your own shopping.
Well, Midtown today has at least one corner grocery store, maybe more if you count convenience stores. But for a true grocery, it may be really down to Nature's Own on 43rd and Main. We're joined by an employee of that store who's also a longtime Midtown resident, Arwen Zygmunt McBroom. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here.
Nature's Own has been a lot of things, though it seems not to change too much on the inside. How would you describe the store to someone who's never been there?
It is definitely a corner grocery store.
It's on the corner.
It is. So specifically on the corner. But it does encompass that neighborhood feel. Anybody who wants to get an idea of what the community might be like in this area, if they were just coming to town, what's available here, even to the point that we have a bulletin board that showcases what's going on in this area. It's a really good way to get to know the area.
So you would you say that the people who shop there do pretty accurately represent the full demographic of the neighborhood?
That's interesting. I really do. You know, we might have a little bit more student clientele when the Art Institute is back in session, but there's really a wide representation of Midtown in that store, which is one of the things that makes it so great.
You are pretty young, and I'm wondering for you, I mean, this is a store where you work in the present day, but does it feel like there's something nostalgic about it? We've just been talking about this history of corner stores.
Sure. Yeah, it definitely does. And there have been customers that have been coming there for 30 plus years. So it has something to do with the clientele, but even the building, I mean, there's only so much you can do to change that historic building. So it still keeps that, I think.
What are the challenges of running a small corner grocery in the age of big supermarkets? I mean, we're deep in the age of big supermarkets. There are several generations alive today who have never known any other reality.
Sure.
And I'm curious about whether there are sort of practical challenges.
Oh, there definitely are. I think one of the most important things to realize if you want to have that kind of store is that it's not going to be your big money maker. You know, you're going to do it because you love to do it and because you like the community and you think that it's important.
Why does someone love to run a grocery store?
Oh, that's a good question. I think it really comes down to this community, which is why this story is just so perfect, because it's not just for the customers, it's for the employees. It's for the owner. It creates this community that is really hard to find in a chain grocery store, in a chain store of any kind. So I would think that somebody would do it just because it feels important.
Do class issues come up today when we think about who can and does shop in a smaller, some might say specialty store like this?
Yeah, I think that there is some of that, but that has been something that has always struck me as completely unique about this store. Because it is more of an inner city store, you get entire demographics, and people are there because they want to be there. They are not maybe necessarily able to afford to shop at the chain grocery stores, which you would think would offer a better price point. But there's something about this small store that, because it is not just there for the money, they're able to really get in touch with what their customers need.
Mary Jo, what is your sense of this in historical perspective? I mean, was there a luxury issue with different options for different kinds of stores?
I think that it started to change. I think that in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, everybody pretty much shopped at the grocery store on the corner. As these new supermarkets started to come in, what we saw, at least nationally, was sort of a divide between the people who could afford to go to the supermarket, and the supermarkets became more luxurious and more offered obviously a lot more choice, and people who couldn't go to the supermarket kept shopping at the neighborhood market. So one of the comments that somebody wrote in on our Facebook page was that, with all the nostalgia that he was reading, other people remembering how great the grocery stores were, he said, "Don't also remember there wasn't that much selection in maybe in the 1950s, 1960s. People complained about the smell, you know, so they were kind of going downhill at that point. And I think there was a real issue. There was a divide. And what people say is the middle sort of dropped out of the grocery store market."
It's interesting to me to hear about all of this nostalgia and then to think about, you know, it seems like people live in kind of a split reality maybe now, that there are the places you go because you can take advantage of convenience good prices, all kinds of things like that. And then when you're feeling maybe a little either like looser with the bank account, or you've got some time on your hands, or just feel like a different kind of experience, regardless of what you're searching to buy, you could make a trip to another kind of place which represents maybe your ideals or like a romanticized self or a romanticized set of habits.
Well, you know, I think of on Broadway now at around 39th Street, we have a butcher store. Next to Gomer's, there's the Broadway Butcher Store. And as it came in, I thought, wow, that's really cool to have a neighborhood butcher store. But you have to sort of change your routine to shop at that local business, because you're so used to going to the supermarket, and you have to remind yourself, Broadway Butcher Store probably has much better meat, and you know they'll give me advice about how to cook it and that sort of thing, but I always forget to go there. So it does, I think you're right, that we have this, we think we want this kind of neighborhood grocery store, but these neighborhood stores, but do we really, you know, are we going to shop in them enough to make those businesses succeed?
Mary Jo Draper, it's been a pleasure. And Arwen Zygmunt McBroom, thanks so much for your time. It's been really fun to explore the corner store.
Thank you.
I know it costs more money to shop there, but this was love. This was love. I know you had to pay more money. I'll pay money. I'll pay more. I don't care what the mall has got. I want back that corner store. And what did I feel when I walked by slow? Sorrow, sorrow all around. Why I would feel sorrow, I now know. I smelled a ghost smell from the ground. That old wooden smell from the old corner store. Bum-a-nim-a-nim-a-nim-way-o. Bum-a-nim-a-nim-a-way-o.